Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Ears, for the 16th of February, 2023. I'm joined by Carl.
I thought you were going to say 2021 for some reason.
Yeah, I thought I would as well. I don't know why. I'm sick.
Time just keeps rolling on too quickly.
I want to return to tradition of being locked down.
Oh God, don't say it.
Good old days of not worrying about how the economy is going to go.
That wasn't the last lockdown we're going to experience in our lives.
No. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about Hogwarts Legacy, End Times, the ending of the series, I hope. I don't want to make more of these.
It's the ending of the transgender movement.
Yeah, there's that too. The game was rigged from the start, which is a not Fallout segment, which I'm annoyed about.
No, it's about discussing racism with the left.
Right. And Vice is tired of taking L's IRL, which is just going to be a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Because why not? Anyway, shall begin. So it is the end times, folks. It's over. Hogwarts Legacy End Times has come on us, because we've done Reloaded. I did Revelations, and I've run out of tiles. Plus, this is the last one. I swear. We won't do any more. So we'll start off just by mentioning there is a job on lotusears.com. If you want to go and check that out, that's the software engineer web dev. The deadline for that, I believe, is, what is it, like Sunday midnight?
That's what John just said.
Saturday midnight? Let's make it harder. Why not?
Sunday midnight, I hear.
Anyway, so if you can do the job, 9 to 5 Swindon, then do go and check it out. If not, don't. Otherwise, we shall begin with the end times, because the end times are upon us. You may remember, game, VGGarm, came out.
Just a quick, have you played Hogwarts Legacy?
No.
No, neither have I.
Didn't buy it. No. Told everyone I didn't buy it.
I told everyone I did buy it.
Did you?
It was just a joke. But no, I've never played Hogwarts Legacy. I haven't even watched any footage of it.
Oh, well, we're going to enlighten you today.
Okay.
So you can see that.
But just for again, I actually don't know what kind of game it is. Like, I don't know what you do in the game, what mechanics
it's
it is.
It's a horse simulator.
Well, it may as well be.
I don't know.
I literally. But you would.
I'm joking.
But you would have thought, like, with all the talk about Hogwarts Legacy, even someone who's never tried to engage with it would have had some indication of what kind of game it is. But I don't know what you do in it.
It's a wizard game.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
You role play as a wizard.
Oh, right. Harry. So it's an RPG. Right. Yeah. So you get levels.
Yeah.
Right, okay, fine. Okay, I don't know.
You know, and you ride Shrek around the...
Could have been like a Monkey Island-style narrative game, because it's based on a book and movies.
Ah, they wouldn't get a 9.1, would it, on Metacritic?
I don't know.
Whereas it's an open-world RPG, there you are. 9.1 on Metacritic, so
no
pretty good.
No online multiplayer, not interested at all.
Oh, and someone's already modded that in, don't worry.
Oh, okay.
That's the beauty of mods. I'm going to enjoy some of those mods. But pretty good game, seems to be the consensus. In fact, it was such a good game that all the people who were boycotting it are playing it. And we can verify that. Because if you go to Reset Era, this is some forum.
Because their Steam friends can see.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. So, it's worse than that as well.
I'm definitely boycotting Hogwarts Legacy. Right, I need to go now and do my transgender studies or something. Beep, so-and-so is playing Hogwarts Legacy, you little...
Oh, it's worse than, like, just some nobody who's some Steam friend, right? So we go to Reset Era. So Reset Era is some crappy forum nobody cares about.
Yeah, it's a woke forum, yeah.
They decided to ban all discussion of Hogwarts Legacy because it was, you know, like Hitler of the Month. And as you can see in the background there, they were running ads on Reset Era for Hogwarts Legacy whilst banning discussion of Hogwarts Legacy.
Amazing.
Good.
We are totally against you talking about Hogwarts Legacy, but we're not against money.
Sponsored by Hogwarts Legacy. So this is the lead mod and the mod team. Just... typing away in there. Yeah. Not going to read it because who cares about their full text? Because if you go to the next one, we can see the admin themselves, the head admin of the forum, playing Hogwarts Legacy there on his Steam account.
Amazing.
9.7 hours in the last 2 weeks.
That's not very many.
Well, it just came out. So this was like, wait, hang on a minute. It's the only game you're playing right now as well.
Playing Forspoken. Don't know, 0.4 hours, that sucks.
No.
Give me the transphobe game.
If I can't kill trans people, how can I really be a trans rights
genocide
activist?
Simulator.
As it was described. Yeah. Turns out it's not just him, the entire forum on Steam. There's like a Steam group of all these friggin' people. So that's the head one. If you go, yeah, I mean, you know, of them there are playing Hogwarts Legacy.
This to me, right, is something like catnip is to cats, right? Because like, no, like, to cats, catnip is genuinely the most fascinating thing in the world, right? You see cats and they're just like, it's magnetic, it's some sort of addictive drug to them. But to me, it's nothing. And so I do not feel in any way tempted by it. I don't understand why they're tempted by it, but I can see the effect it has on them. And that's the only joy I get out of Hogwarts Legacy, is that for them, it's like catnip and they're obsessed about it. And I'm just like, I'm going to go play Rome Total War, bro. You know, like...
I paid all this money to play a game from 2003. I'm not playing
exactly. I bought the game I want to play 20 years ago.
Just playing Bannerlord 1.
Exactly. Like, I've got the game I like.
Turns out there were some negative reviews.
Right, okay.
So, we're just...
From people like me. Never played it, can't be bothered.
Well, it was a real mix. It was between people who hate it because transphobia and people who hate it because not enough transphobia. So, some of these are read, I suppose.
I was missold this game by the progressive outrage.
Yeah, I mean, some of that. One here saying J.K. Rowling is a capitalist. Downvote. They still brought it. Still paid for the thing. Trans rights are human rights.
The critique is J.K. Rowling is a capitalist.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good, this game sucks.
Good game, but the mission where I had to check the genitals of the female Quidditch players was a bit out of place. Downvote. There's British people in the game. Downvote. Understandable. This game isn't killing trans people. It's killing my graphics card. Downvote.
I heard that it's got a transphobic staircase.
What?
So apparently... There are like male and female dormitories or something. I saw a clip of someone talking about this. And apparently if you try as a male to go up the female one, it turns into like a slide and shoots you back down. I can't verify this. I've never played it. I don't know if that's true.
It's part of Hogwarts, like Hogwarts lore.
Right, okay. I don't know. But the point is, that is obviously transphobic.
How does it know that you're a will?
Exactly.
The stairs know.
You're not passing.
The stairs look and
go. You'll never be a woman.
Not today. Someone else here who got...
Is that really a part of the thing?
Yeah, the girls are not allowed in the boys' dormitories and vice versa.
And so they have a transphobic staircase.
Well, yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, it's you know, a boarding school.
Well, I mean, yeah, but like I've never read it or watched it, so I don't know that
there's
a
staircase. But that's the thing, right?
It makes the judgment.
But all of the presuppositions of like English mythical culture and boarding schools and all that are all baked into it without J.K. Rowling thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's the really funny thing about all of this. She didn't say anything, and suddenly it's transphobic, but it's not because she ever did anything. It's just the culture shifted.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Someone else saying there's no sex, so that's a downvote. And someone saying you can't slaughter any... Well, apparently not. Apparently you can't slaughter any of the students as well, so that's missold.
Don't they all have, like... Aren't the wands weapons?
Yes.
So how is it you can't...
You can't go on a school... Well, not shooting, but school spelling.
Right.
There was actually a discussion on an anti-gun forum I saw about this. It was like, why aren't there mass spellings in Hogwarts? And someone went, well, they wouldn't get very far because everyone has a wand. User was banned for that post.
But?
Yeah. There's also the really funny best review there. I've just transphobic developer, downvote. Transphobic developer, upvote. Two different users. There we are. Move forward.
The duality of man.
There was some other fun. Someone made the Austrian painter their character, which very popular in the school, apparently. don't know how well the painting career went, but been working for the dark arts, I'm sure. We go to the next one, which is the funniest thing about this. You may remember there was a trans bartender shoehorned in.
Was there?
At presumably quite the last minute to try to save face. And the thing is, this is...
This replicate them, won't it? No.
This is...
Of course it won't.
Sir Owner Ryan. That's the name.
Sir Owner
Has
Ryan.
Has Sir and Ryan in it. Well, this individual here is the bartender who is trans. So someone took a look at that in the modding community and realized that the voice is a man's voice. So put out a mod fixing that bug. Bug fixing
the
voice.
They gave the trans person a woman's voice, and let me guess,
this
was transphobic.
Because women don't represent trans women. So he was banned from Nexus mod for that. For bug fixing.
Not even. Sorry, no, we're just going to take this out. No, you're banned.
How dare you say that trans women and women are the same?
Yeah, how dare you say trans women are women?
I've actually listened to the two audios as well, and it's a big difference.
Oh, really?
Since that conversation. It's not the only.
This game is an endless source of joy for me.
That's the thing, you don't have to engage with any of it. It's
exactly. It's literally the catnip. I'm just like, hey, great, I'm glad.
People just killing each other.
Yeah.
Like, just something like.
No, honestly, it's watching the cats fighting over the catnip is hilarious. And I'm just like, great.
The game developers in the middle, like, I just wanted to make a video game.
Yeah.
No, it's not what games are about. Not for a long time. There's another mod here, because I saw this on Nexus mod.
Yeah.
Some lunatics have decided that they're not valid unless being reminded every 5 seconds that they are valid.
Yes.
So they put the propaganda flags.
Yeah, the conservative trans flag and then the racial pride trans flag.
Well, that one there is
there we go.
Associated with young boys and young girls as the creator
there
of the flag.
There is also
mentioned.
That, yeah.
So Matt Pride is well represented.
Yeah.
This got a lot of people like mad, like, why do you care? And I'm like, I don't.
Why do you care?
What's wrong with you is the point. Which is like, you know, the libertarians playing Hogwarts Legacy don't have a mod, but libertarian flags in all the pictures to remind themselves.
I bet the Nazis playing Hogwarts Legacy do, though, don't they?
That mod's not out. The Nazis are more restrained on being obsessed with propaganda for the time being. Someone did add VTubers because, of course, internet. So yeah. If you can play this without the audio, just so we can demonstrate the because it moves. There you are. Internet does the internet thing.
I hate YouTubers.
Like, what about anime girls in my video game? I mean, if you've seen Left 4 Dead, you'll know. Not all of them, though, weirdly. I don't know why they haven't added all the paintings doing that, but whatever. Mm. That's one. If we pause that, we'll go over to a more professional mod, one I more endorse, which is, as you can see here, Ricardo has been added in to all the paintings.
Right, hang on a second. Right, am I to take from this that the paintings move?
Yeah.
Because this is a magic school.
Yeah, it's part of Hogwarts lore.
And so they're just replacing the gifts or whatever it is on the paintings
with whatever you want.
Yeah, right.
You also see the man walking around with a gun there, because there's a mod to change that. Because if you could just shoot people up, that would be easier. So there's that. There was one.
I've seen the mashup, you're an American, Harry. Instead of firing wands, they're firing guns.
Mom, I'm off to school. Take this bulletproof vest. There was one backlash, which actually is legitimate in the sense of complaints from the old alphabet community.
Oh, yeah.
The elves.
As if anyone cares about them anymore.
They're not in the club. Russian language version of Hogwarts Legacy literally erases lesbians. There were some lesbian relationships. They just deleted them from the game because it's Russia.
Well, I guess so, yeah. I imagine the Chinese version doesn't have them either.
No one has made a noise about this at all. I see Pink News wrote an article about it. No one in the Pink News sphere cared. Because why would they? Lesbians are transphobic.
What are they going to do? Nag the Russians to conform to their demands. Because that's how any of this works. It's just like, oh, we're really upset. You're being discriminatory. And the Russians would just be like, yes, we know.
Yes. Now I'm going to legalize wife beating. Be right back. You know, it was actually a debate.
No, I didn't know, but it wouldn't shock me.
It was Islamic in nature. It wasn't about like injuring your wife, but showing her place. That's the Islamic version of wife beating. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
You're allowed to beat them in the chest, but not the face.
Yeah.
We have standards.
Not allowed to leave marks or something.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think that ended up passing. I don't know. Good luck whining about lesbians because they're transphobes. No one cares. It's all in the past. Who cares? And then there was the whining from the media, which went on.
Has been nonstop.
And on. We have the gamer here, who is such a gamer. Am I right, guys? Video game players? It just reminds me of Anita Sarkeesian so much.
It's like, I'm sure it does, yeah.
Video games, although lame and for nerds, are really in right now. So I'm going to whine and whine until the whole industry collapses.
But I mean, I kind of agree with that headline, to be honest. I'm willing to throw people under the bus if it means pretending to relive my childhood. Good for you, Harry Potter players.
Yes. Have fun.
Yeah.
With your fun time.
If you're allowed to have fun anymore, try and have some.
But that wasn't where it was going to end. Because, of course, none of this has worked. You may have noticed that no one cares.
The boycott didn't work.
Yeah, not only did the boycott not work, the whole movement's dead. If we're being honest about the direction of travel of the trans movement, especially in the UK, this is the end of the line, in my view. That nothing's worked, they know where it's going, which is this is not going to be believed by anyone. I mean, a member of one of the most powerful members of our political system just lost her job over this.
Yep.
And in which case, you're getting thrown in the dump. Like, the progressive people who want power are going to throw your entire movement in the dump because they know this is so nonsensical, it is not going to work for them. And in which case, this is the last dying breath, I feel, of this movement, which is why you get this. The gamer here saying that Hogwarts Legacy is tied to the murder of teenager Brianna Gay, who was murdered in a targeted attack by two cisgender teenagers over the weekend.
Meanwhile, Brianna Gay was murdered in the UK. How do they know it's cisgender teenagers?
Oh, they've arrested them. I don't think they've asked.
Well, yeah, but we haven't got the identity of the two teenagers. Because
the police did say a boy and girl. We don't know if they're trans boys and girls.
Yeah, they don't know.
But that's not the point. As you can see here, it's a desperate, desperate attempt.
I guess they're just going for a statistical average, right?
But it's
what the odds are.
But it's so transparent where this is just you striking out. Because you've got nothing left.
Did they bring up George Floyd?
And they will get the George Floyd. Because this story blew up, in case people are wondering.
This is the current thing.
Yeah. Brianna Gay, literally who?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? BBC here, we'll take their word for it. Brianna Gay, boy and girl in court charged with murder. The police
because
said
they're under 18, you're not allowed to name them, right?
Two 15-year-olds, boy and a girl, who are the suspects in this murder case. The police said there was absolutely no evidence that it was a hate crime.
No, we just have a real problem with teenagers stabbing each other these days.
But I'm glad the police have been able to come out and say, no, it was a love crime. Don't worry about it. It wasn't a hate crime.
Well,
it was a crime of love.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's a the opposite.
What does that mean, though? Like,
I think hate crimes are nonsense.
I still despise.
I murdered them because they were, you know, black, or I murdered them because I just didn't like them. Well, what difference does that make?
Yeah, I don't accept that hate crime should be on the books.
Like, no, I agree.
Nonsense legal standard. And if you're wondering who the hell this was, it's a random person. So a 16-year-old who came out as transgender, don't know at what point, ran a tiny TikTok account that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
You know, locally, they're friends and that's about it. Yeah. Know about. This is them eating pizza, for example.
Yeah.
That's about the gist of the content. Yeah. I'm playing this so you get an understanding of what the content was like. Nothing big. And therefore, wouldn't be a big story. Maybe you would have a debate about young people killing each other.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just happens all the time these days. So.
Yeah. Might have that debate. No, but the random retards on the internet couldn't let this slide.
Yeah, well.
Obviously. Back to Hogwarts Legacy.
J.K. Rowling, why did you do this?
Right? Yeah. If you're playing... You want to read this?
If you're playing Hogwarts Legacy, this is what you're funding. Just, wow. That's just a leap and a half.
The 15-year-olds were on her, J.K. Rowling's payroll.
You're funding J.K. Rowling to incite hatred against trans women, resulting in the vicious murder of a 16-year-old girl. Well, that's amazing. Literally saying J.K. Rowling's words killed this person.
You should get sued.
You sold out this child for your effing game. Oh my God, man.
I thought this was a joke. If we go to the next image one. No, he's serious.
Well,
he's a serious human being.
You say he's serious, but look at that bio.
He is sincere in his beliefs. He's not a serious human being.
Okay, yeah, he's sincere in his beliefs. I'll agree with that, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go to the next one here. It wasn't the only one. There's a lot of very sincere human beings. This person started printing off posters and putting them up all over the country. Rip Brianna Gay, murdered for being trans in public.
Don't know that.
There's literally no evidence. Writes in small print there that they were emboldened by the British government and media targeting trans people for their culture wars project.
Don't know anything like that.
Such as J.K. Rowling, TERFs, gender criticals, bigots, blah, 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 justice for Brianna Gay, her blood is on your hands.
Don't get me wrong. I agree, justice for Brianna Gay. Right, I agree.
Which seems to be happening.
Person was murdered. People have been arrested. I'm sure the legal process is going to carry on as normal.
Yeah, and I love this person is like spotted on my bike ride tonight. No, it's a lie. If you check out that person's account, there's videos that they put up of themselves putting up that poster.
Right.
So,
socialist 50-something trans woman. Right, okay, yeah.
Former detransitioner.
Oh, really? Right, okay.
So this person decided they were wrong and decided to transition.
Candidate for least mentally stable trans woman on Twitter award.
They decided they were wrong and transitioned, and then decided they were wrong again, went back and told us they were wrong again and went back.
And then they're like, look, I'm one of the least mentally stable people on Twitter.
Yep. There's that.
Moving on.
There's also a lot of micro-leftists getting the same thing.
The name is Crumtubers.
Crumtubers?
Yeah, because they're not, yeah, it's Dev Shofatake's on. They're not good enough to be leftists. They're bread tubers. They're crumb tubers.
So this crumb tuber over here, who cares? He made this whole video. He just gets really angry, like starts banging the table so angry. And an 11-minute rant about how Hogwarts Legacy killed Brianna Gay.
What? Okay.
You tell me, bro.
What happens to the trans character in Hogwarts Legacy? Do they die?
They're murdered by cisgendered 15-year-olds that are paid by J.K. Rowling.
Well,
the character in the game.
Now you can see how the connection's been made.
No, not happening.
Obviously, yeah.
There may be another murderer, though. Jess Phillips. Maybe she was the one that killed this...
Not my girl, Jess!
So Jess Phillips responds by saying, tragic.
I must...
Love to the parents, unimaginable loss. And Samantha over here, who's trans, goes, it's an unimaginable loss, Jess. A loss you helped happen... with your soulless turfism. It's like,
what? I feel the need to defend Jess Phillips. Jess Phillips has nothing to do with the murder of Brianna Gay.
No, I think she didn't work on Hogwarts Legacy. I don't think she even did any voice acting for Hogwarts.
Jess Phillips is not, like, anti-trans either. I've seen her, you know, speaking positively of the trans community.
But she did buy a copy of Hogwarts Legacy for her daughter, maybe, so...
Well, maybe, yeah.
Maybe that was it. Maybe. Who knows? We'll find out.
Poor old Jess gets dragged into this.
She's not the only one. The insufferable leftist elite had to pop up and all say their piece about some girl, well...
Don't blame Jess for blocking that person at all.
Someone they didn't know. Someone they never would have
known. Oh, Dr. Shola.
Have no connection to. Dr. Shola just comes out and is like, give me strength. Is stabbing a 16-year-old transgender girl is targeted attack. Do you need the murderer to draw you a roadmap for the evidence that it was a hate crime? The police are close-minded, that's the problem.
How does the exiled Queen of Nigeria have any special information about this? Because it could well have been that these people were angry about something that has happened between them. And it's not just the abstract, we hate trans people, here is a trans person.
If you are trans, that is all you are.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
That's it. Literally, you just talk about that. You just be that. Nothing else.
No, a trans girl was stabbed to death. Her gender is always relevant.
Yeah, okay. What's your evidence for that? It came to me in a dream.
Yeah.
It certainly did. There's also the police force in question. If we can take a look at them. Remember her?
Yeah.
You think this person is not looking for a hate crime statistic?
Good point.
Really.
Good point. Yep.
Police
good
force point. That is literally run by your ideologues.
Yep.
It's like, well, we don't see any hate crime here. We're not looking for that. Put that under the rug.
Hate Shut crimes? Up. Don't believe in them.
Yeah. The COVID impact on pride. Oh, fuck. I hadn't even read this. Just look at the image.
Yeah.
We'll go to Jeremy Corbyn. He's got something to say.
Yeah, I saw Jeremy Corbyn's post.
She was killed because she wanted to be herself.
You have no idea why she was killed, Jeremy.
Source?
And you're talking about her like you're about to go to Glastonbury with her. Like you're a big buddy with her. You don't know who this person is. You don't know anything about this person. You're just a virtue-signaling prick.
No one has any relation, could never have any relation, would have had never any relation, and still doesn't. Still, with all the whining, has no connection other than current thingism for these people.
Yeah.
He did the same thing on Twitter. He then deleted this.
Yeah, I know.
Because
I retweeted it and he deleted it.
Yeah, there you are. Killed for who she wanted to be. And then we realized, hang on a minute, I could be sued. So got rid of that. We'll go to every leftist MP and their mother.
If he was literally just like, my thoughts are with Brianna's family, the trans community fighting for safety, dignity, and liberation, there would be nothing wrong with that tweet. Like, you know, the most Matt Walsh should be like, yeah, you know.
But the thing is, that's not what this is about.
No, it's not.
This is about, well, we've got rid of race war now. That's not the leftist approach. BLM's dead. This is trans war now.
Mm.
For some goddamn reason. We're the MPs who ordered the same thing. So no idea with them there. So the point I'm making with this is all the individuals about the list will recognize, because these people have repeatedly not cared about the facts of a case, don't care about the case. Just jump on the current thing.
Yep.
And the next one here, I think, is just in India Willoughby. The first
this name, but I don't know who this person is.
So they claim to be the first transgender on British media. They're the most insane person I've ever listened to, because they never have anything normal to say. Such as here. I told you British media, the government, J.K. Rowling, Ricky Gervais... He's getting tied into this now. You have blood on your hands.
Oh.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais is now responsible for Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, look at this. A targeted attack, quote unquote. You've created a hysterical climate where it's okay to target trans... She doesn't know what targeted attack means.
No.
She doesn't...
Like,
she
if I kill you because it's you,
yeah.
That's a target.
I know. She doesn't understand. She thinks that it just means to target trans people because she's clearly very intelligent.
Yeah. Evidence is not required, though. This was pointed out to them. There was no evidence. This person, next, though, has come up with a brilliant argument about why that doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Such as the police's own guidance, which is true. So they say here, the Crown Prosecution Service define a hate crime as any criminal offence which is perceived by the victim or any
That's
other person.
A great point.
To be motivated by hostility or prejudice. So the victim, no. The perpetrators, no. But random dude on Twitter.
That's a great
perceived
point.
As a hate crime.
How can you say it's not?
Completely right.
Yeah, by the standard you set, that is absolutely true.
The police's guidance is actually insane. And there's no evidence for that.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because this means that, like, you know, if my neighbour Bob steals my bike, Bob being a 50-year-old white man.
Yep.
But if I perceive it...
It is a hate crime, ipso facto.
Bob's getting extra time in jail.
Yeah. That is how the law works in this country, because that people thought this through.
It's very sensible.
We'll go to the point, though, which is there's no evidence, but that doesn't matter. And I want to play this because it's funny. Let's play this clip.
Now that is scientific fact. There's no real evidence for it, but it is scientific fact.
This is brass eye, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is back where I think this episode is about climate change, where he's like, the water's running backwards
cake.
Or something.
It's about cake, isn't it?
It's that one.
Yeah.
But we'll go to Operation George Floyd.
Okay.
We couldn't stop at this
point.
Oh,
yeah. Rest in power. Yeah.
Brianna Gay, 16, rest in power. They started putting posters up in, I think, America.
What, about Brianna Gay?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we proposed about George Floyd as well.
Wisecrack has to come in and be like, why are you bullying a dead child? Why are you...
Sorry, don't mean to laugh. How do you bully a dead person?
That's true as well. But also, wisecrack, stop. Stop.
How do you bully a dead person?
Person gets murdered and everyone's like, stand on the corpse. This is our corpse. We're going to use this for whatever we can. See, it's still moving. It's still moving. All right, we're part of this, aren't we? And they're like, how can you make fun of those people?
I used to like wisecrack as well.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's really gone downhill.
But Operation Transloid is on its way. I don't think it's going to work. Again, this whole thing is grasping at straws. It is so transparent. If we go to the next one, we could see some of this. YouTube decided to put this in their newsfeed.
No kidding.
The reason I mention this is because, as we revealed before, the newsfeed on your YouTube, you see like breaking news, whatever's in there, that is manually put there. Susan Wojcicki herself spoke about it. The whole reason that bar even exists is because she forced the engineers to put it in everyone's thing. It is not because anyone clicks on it. She was told no one clicks on it. Well,
and we can see that no one clicks on it. Look at those numbers.
Terrible.
Channel 4 have got a few million subscribers, 54,000 views in 5 hours. That's pretty good, I guess, right? Sky News, 2 million subscribers, 13,000 views in 19 hours. Yeah. 26,000 views in 23 hours. Yeah, 10,000 views in 23 hours. No, and that's on the front page of YouTube.
Yeah, artificially pushed, still can't get any views.
No one cares.
No. And it could be any issue. It's just this one, you can tell how artificial it is when suddenly some human at YouTube's like, see this.
Yeah.
We go to No Justice, No Peace, because, again, leftists don't actually have
it. If only we could arrest the criminals.
Who knows? So Andy Ngo posting here, some vigil, No Justice, No Peace, which is the Black Lives Matter slogan, which didn't go unnoticed. But we go to the actual vigil itself for a moment. We can notice what happened, which is they spent the time whining about Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour Party.
I'd have fit in really well then. I spent a lot of time whining about Keir Starmer.
I mean, if you needed any more evidence that no one here cares.
If you needed any more evidence that Keir Starmer was awful.
It was just like, Brianna, what? She was called
gay. I could happily join in with that chant as well. F Keir Starmer. Yeah, I agree.
That's the chant for the vigil.
Yeah.
None of these human beings actually have a life.
Keir Starmer got to do with this?
Actually,
because he couldn't define woman either, could he?
No. He's still not there.
So he's on their side.
But it is BLM phobic. This whole movement. Trans George Floyd actually is BLM phobic. And that's completely true. We'll go to the argument. Latest leftist infighting. Say Her Name is trending because people are using it for Breonna Gay, who was white.
There we go. Good point. That's a good point.
I need you all to understand that phrase hashtag was created for black women who are victims of police violence.
Oh, I think that's a good point.
I've seen white people say that they don't even know this and blah, blah, blah. Okay.
I think that's true. I think white people really need to stop saying Say Her Name because it is for black women. And actually, they're being racist when they do it.
Just cringe.
No, I think they're making a great point. This is a standard we should definitely hold them to.
The police, finally, after all this BS, obviously astroturf, nonsense leftist movement of let's drum this corpse up as much as we can. See, look at the corpse. No respect, obviously.
I legit feel bad for the family of Breonna Gay.
Yeah, the police issued a statement being like, okay, fine, we'll look into whether or not it's a hate crime. They're not saying they have any evidence. They're saying they're looking into it. And the reason they did this was because 2 days of endless corpse mangling by leftists. So there you have it. They also raised lots of money. Someone set up a GoFundMe or whatever. So I can't remember how much they've raised now. Was that 100 grand? Just about? Almost there? Okay. It's your money.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Then there were some other...
What are they doing with the money?
The funeral.
Right, okay. As long as they're giving it to the family, that's fine.
I believe so.
As long as they're doing it to Tavistock or something.
Not going to buy another mansion with it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
We're following BLM here. If we go to the next one here.
No, that's fine.
The Times got in trouble, though. Going to mention all the people who we lost along the way. So the Times decided to have a version in which they just removed all references to Brianna being a girl, because being stabbed to death doesn't make you a girl.
I'm surprised they did that, though.
Well, I think reality still matters.
Sure, but it's a politically dicey thing to do.
Well, to tell the truth, I suppose so.
Yeah, well, it has been for years.
We'll go to Velad Els, who got even more trouble for doing something even worse, though. They decided to put the dead name up on a tombstone, which got them in an awful lot of trouble. As you can see, it was like 7.8 million views. That was a big trouble zone for them. In fact, this whole thing got blown up so much.
I disavow. It's just too much heat.
It got blown up so much that the police found that there were drones flying over the murder scene and had to put a no-fly zone over the whole area.
What, did they think the body was still there?
I don't know, but people were flying drones over it, and the police are like, go away, have some respect for the victims, we're still doing our job. The hell's wrong with everyone on the internet?
Well, that's a great question. Then.
Trying to find copies of Hogwarts Legacy at the crime scene? Like, what are you doing?
I've got a picture of J.K. Rowling in the bush.
We'll end this off quickly, which is just the point of, in case you're wondering, this is the one trans person a year who is killed.
Right.
This is Channel 4 just fact-checking this. Trans people are 300 times less likely to be murdered every year than an average person.
Really? So,
is that, yeah, very, very rare.
Oh, okay.
When a trans person is killed. Not only just because of the numbers, but even proportionally, it's incredibly rare compared to a normal person who would be killed in a murder. So there's that. If you go to the next link, 0.2% of the country. Again, this is what our entire politics hosts itself with. An endless discussion about that. Mm. And then the last thing, just to mention, because it's funny, J.K. Rowling is now suing people who lie about her and winning.
Mm.
This person here called her a Nazi, so she went, okie dokie, let's talk to your lawyer. And then they had to put out an apology.
Well, have we got the apology? Because the apology is so great. Yeah, here we go. I would like to publicly apologise for a previous Twitter thread where I interacted with J.K. Rowling on matters relating to the transgender community. I have now removed these tweets and would like to apologise to J.K. Rowling directly for causing potential upset. Because my lawyer literally has a gun to my head. I failed to choose my words with care. I would like to retract my previous statements relating to her views on LGBTQ+, more specifically transgender people. I'd also like to retract my likening J.K. Rowling to any far-right or Nazi organisation. And I emphasise, I do not wish any individual, inclusive of J.K. Rowling, to come to any harm. Boom. That is so devastating.
But J.K. Rowling's lawyer, happy hunting. I found a whole bunch more fish that are like, yeah, your video game killed someone. So
that is literally guns in there, just like, dude, you are going to go down.
What a joke.
The second this hits a court of defamation, like, right, J.K. Rowling, is there any evidence that she is a Nazi? The answer will be no. Is calling someone a Nazi defamatory and designed to hurt their career? Obviously, yes. You were in it.
But anyway, Hogwarts Legacy, end times, and hopefully I don't have to come back to the subject, but what a world, what a roller coaster, and I look forward to the internet historian video about it all.
I tell you what, man, like I said, I don't care about Hogwarts Legacy at all, or Harry Potter, or J.K. Rowling. I'm just enjoying watching her effortlessly destroy them. It's just so funny.
Didn't have to do anything.
Yeah, she's just... occasionally...
Just have to wait for time to pass.
Occasionally I'll tweet, and then maybe once or twice I'll email my lawyer... And then I'll go and sit in my nice country garden and drink wine or whatever she does all day.
Just flicks money. Just flicks it.
Goes and sits on a throne made of gold and crushes the skulls of trans people in a hand.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway. So there is no point debating race with the left, right? Because the game is rigged from the start. You cannot win because they have defined the terms of the debate so that you are definitionally wrong and they are definitionally right. And to use an example of this in action, we are going to use a video that Peter Whittle put up on the New Culture Forum, debating some race activist, some grifter.
They're racist.
Yeah, yeah. Explicitly, actually. But we'll get to that. Because she knows, and you can tell by the attitude, right? A lot of a debate, right? You don't even need to listen to it to see who's winning a debate. You just look at the expressions on the faces of the people. Look at the body language, look at the mannerisms. Look at who's smiling during the debate. Who has the person on the hook and who's being reeled in. And that's exactly why you don't need to do this. But before we begin, go and check out the symposium I did with Stelios on John Rawls' justice, view on justice. I think John Rawls is absolutely atrocious and everything he said was nonsense, frankly. But then that's because I'm a cynical post-liberal. And I've realised that actually his original position is BS. The veil of ignorance is BS. And I could go on and on, but go and watch that. But the reason this matters is because essentially all of this comes down to Rawls's original position. In an ideal, perfect world, and you could choose the kind of society you'd be born into, would you choose this one where there may be injustices? It's like, when has that ever happened, John? When have I got to do that? No, well, you can't do that. But that's why we need to reformat all of society to fit this utopian daydream. And that's where all of the arguments from the left are coming from at this point. I'm saying that. Don't care.
I always hate this. Like, you might be born to any country. No, you wouldn't.
Nope.
You were literally only going to be born to the one you're born in.
Yep.
Because your parents decide to F.
Yep. The liberal argument that underpins it, well, it's arbitrary. It's random who you're born to. No, it's necessary.
No, it's entirely predictable. Yeah,
exactly. It's direct lineal necessity.
I mean, sometimes we don't know who the father is. That's about it.
But the child is still going to be born to the mother, and that's the lineal descent that we can track. Anyway, so it begins with the RAF not hiring white men,
yep.
which we talked about. You think would be bad. I mean, literally, offering jobs. There's an effective pause on offering jobs to white male recruits in favour of women and ethnic minorities.
But be sure, every white man in the British military, to die for your country.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't re-enlist.
No, I wouldn't either. The reason they did this is because they're trying to meet, quote, impossible diversity targets. Admiral Saturni Radakin, head of the armed forces, used his first public speech in post last December to stress the importance of striving for better diversity. He said this was not about wokefulness, it's about woefulness. The woefulness of too few women, the woefulness of not reflecting ethnic, religious, and cognitive diversity of our nation. Oh, I love that, cognitive diversity. That means there are a bunch of
quota.
Exactly. We need a retard quota, and you don't fit the retard quota, and so you do not fit the cognitive diversity of our nation.
Just every year, one of the planes just crashes as soon as it takes off. Well, that's the quota.
I hope I'm not on that plane, but I love it. It's not about wokefulness, but it is about wokefulness, actually. Okay, fine. And when challenged on this, they're like, "No, we're unashamed of this discrimination. Actually, we're not." What do you mean? Why would you say we're doing something wrong? Obviously, we're doing something right. We've got a retail quota.
The autism division. Exactly. Or where would we be as a country, really?
This is the Guardian. The woman in charge of the RAF recruitment says she is unashamed of a policy that critics claim could mean women and people from ethnic minorities being prioritised over white men.
Yeah.
If that was a man, say, no, I'm unashamed of prioritising white men over women and ethnic minorities. All hell. The sky would fall. Rivers would boil with blood. Mountains would explode. Fields on fire. It would be the end of the world. But if someone else of a different group says, no, I'm going to benefit my group of which I'm a member, so me, of course, in particular, and my fellow group constituency, everyone's just like, well, I mean, you know, it's against the law, but what can we do?
Have you noticed that we're living in the British Raj?
No.
As in, like, well, I mean, the majority group are not to be promoted instead. The minority ethnicity should be the one ruling the place.
That's a good point.
I mean, our own government's saying it. And if you're in the army serving that, I mean, I'd be like, yeah, nah. Don't really want to fight for the Raj?
Yeah.
Like some Indian independence?
Air Vice Marshal Myra Byford said she had slowed down the recruitment process for all candidates after figures showed the RAF was not hitting diversity targets. Who set these diversity targets? Maria. But anyway... There's a reason that we don't have the most diverse air force in the world, and that's because their helmets are literally too heavy for the women to hold on their heads when they're flying around in the F-35 jets.
We went over this. It's the eject seat. Well, if you eject and the helmet's too heavy for your weight, it will actually damage you. So we can't do that because it's unsafe.
I mean, I don't know what we can do about it. Complain about gravity?
No, the solution was to buy the new generation of helmets that are made to not have that problem.
Oh, brilliant.
They are an extra, like, 200 grand each.
Great.
So that's an extra 200 grand per diversity
helmet. It's 200 grand from white men.
Yeah.
Not my problem. But anyway, obviously, Air Chief Marshal Sir Mike Wigston said that a more pressing concern was that women were not being trained as pilots, pointing to a woeful gender diversity problem in the RAF. Is that a problem, though?
More women should be dying, or I'm not happy, says local man.
And so, unsurprisingly, China actually doesn't...
Serial killer or military official?
China doesn't care about any of this. And it's like, well, we'll take your top pilots if you want. And that's a good point by the New York Times, which I'm sad to say. Is that wise? Is it wise to give China our top talent? Well,
yes.
So anyway, this was debated on GB News, and the New Culture Forum put it up on their channel. And I... thought we'd just go through a few clips of this. Now, it's Peter Whittle, who I like very much, and I think does a good job, but I have to be honest, he did lose this debate because of the terms of the debate itself. It was prepackaged that he would lose this debate. And he lost it to Iman Ayton, who's a 31-year-old South Londoner, average London person.
Have they done with their life?
Well, as she says on her website, she came to prominence during the Black Lives Matter protests, on the 31st of May, 2020, Organizing several protests, including one with 20,000 people in attendance. She's become a motivational speaker and racism thought leader. So she's leading thoughts in racism. In the process, has been globally recognized due to her extensive media coverage. She's dedicated to black equality and tackling racism. She seeks to build awareness about how all forms of racism manifest in the UK, including institutionalized racism.
Member of the status quo. You ran a protest movement endorsed by every company and their mother.
Yes.
Good. Very hard. Peter Whittle was in opposition as a politician for years.
Yes.
But no, you've done something.
She continues to motivate the UK.
Does she?
And inspire change.
She motivates us all.
With anti-racism seminars, talks, workshops, and articles, and community initiatives. She's not affiliated with Black Lives Matter, though. She makes a point of stressing this on her website. You can get to the next one.
I do have their signs, but I have nothing to do with those thieves.
Scroll down. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's exactly what she says, right? Even though the term Black Lives Matter has global recognition, it's important to note that the movement is made up of many groups, organizations, and individuals who, while possessing a single commitment to black equality and justice, do not automatically share the same political ideologies. Iman has not at any point worked for or been a part of the organizations known as BLM UK or UK BLM, and is not affiliated with any BLM group or organization in the UK or globally.
I know.
I'm not a thief.
I have nothing to do with any mansions. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. What a toxic brand. If someone can literally be like, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but I mean, I'm not with them. Like, I mean, I didn't steal any of the money.
I am a member of the Ku Klux Klan, but not them. So, you need to drop the name, love.
The point being, as I have explained many times on LoadSeas.com, she is a critical race theorist. And the important points from critical race theory, which we are about to see from her, are the explicit embrace of positioned race consciousness. As in, this is
like military doctrine?
No, this is literally the Ku Klux Klan for black people.
Okay.
That's exactly what it is. It is, and she is unashamed about this, of course. And the way that they justify this is by expanding racism to mean two different and contradictory things at once, as we discussed in this. Remember, they have the narrow view of racism, which is the view of racism that the average liberal holds, which is racism is discrimination against someone on the basis of their race. And then you have the expanded view of racism, Kimberly Crenshaw coined, which is the racism of consequence, as in, if black people don't have jobs, then they earn less money, and that's a form of racism.
Solid logic.
Let's begin.
This is a bit of a non-PC question to ask,
yes.
But do you think, with the diversity and inclusion drive, we're actually starting to discriminate against white men?
I don't mean to be mean, but...
I know. She's like an extra from Love Actually, right? She's got that kind of early 2000s vibe to her,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's just
nice,
like,
girl.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the vibe I get.
Exactly. Just total...
Don't you think things are going a bit wrong?
You. Yeah, exactly. Just like... Like a minnow in a tank of sharks, right? Yeah. Just like, you know, aren't we eating too many of the fellow fish? Like literally the sharks, like from Finding Nemo or something, right? And so it's just this total innocence and airheadedness about the question. And it's not a badly intentioned person, I'm sure, but like you
just
don't...
Just the way it was asked.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know who you are dealing with at all. So let's see the answer to that.
Okay, so what I will say is this conversation that we're actually having is about race equity. And that very much connects to positive discrimination. That's the only way that you can achieve race equity. So I just want to make it very clear. Positive discrimination and negative discrimination achieve the exact same result. And so whilst these initiatives are excellent and more than welcome, as you can tell, they also alienate other races and marginalised communities that also feel aggrieved, and that can cause extra tension. And so for me personally, this comes down to the path of least resistance. Okay, so organisations find it a lot easier to turn race equality into tick boxing and tokenism as opposed to changing an entire culture. And that is where the problem lies. And so for me personally, if you have a culture of prejudice, it's quite clear that you're going to need quotas. And so if you didn't have the culture of prejudice, you wouldn't need quotas. And so for me personally, I don't need a quota from a white person. What I need is for white people to get out of our way. And so in other words, work on your prejudice and you won't need quotas.
Now that sounds like a threat.
She literally just said, well, yes, it is racist and that is good. And get out of our way. Don't you think the things are going a bit mad?
It's You know what I mean? She's asking with the sort of love actually sort of openness, and this person is responding with a thinly veiled threat.
One day, white people might be discriminated against. Been doing it for years. Get out of our way.
And notice how she said, other racial groups who might feel aggrieved. And it's like, well, aren't you giving the white people themselves a reason to feel aggrieved here? And you're saying, well, the only reason we need to do this is because of prejudice. And it's like, yes, okay. But what are you presenting if not prejudice?
Who's the prejudice in the room here?
Exactly.
So I hate white people and they shouldn't have the same opportunities. This is only happening because of prejudice.
And other groups that will feel aggrieved will demand quotas of their own. And so, right, okay, so when the white people have been sufficiently discriminated against, they will have a grievance that will require a quota. And you're like, yeah, so get out of our way. Okay. This doesn't seem very wise.
I look forward to the white quota.
Mm. But like, also notice what's been sort of presumed here and what's normalized in this worldview, right? She is acting as if she's entitled to the RAF, to the fruits of what Britain produced.
Your entire civilization belongs to us. Why? Because I've thought about it.
Because I have a grievance. I feel like you've been discriminating against me.
Therefore, no evidence for it, but it is scientific fact. So,
you know, look at the attitude with the way that's delivered, right? It's who holds the whip hand here? Who is in charge? Who is the one who's the law is going to back when it comes to the crunch? You know, she knows she is in charge. And so she's got the sort of predatory aspect of a serpent playing with a mouse. And doesn't the woman in the middle have very much the demeanor of a mouse? You know,
shouldn't I have some rights?
She's not dangerous in any way, shape, or form, but this woman knows she is dangerous. She knows she has the power. She knows the institutions behind her. She knows that the dominant aristocratic culture is behind her. She knows that she deserves, for being black, what you do not deserve for being white. That's what this is. So let's play the next clip.
Out of the way!
Yes!
Peter, you need to get out the way!
Yes!
Why is she smiling? Look at that stupid smile. You have just been told, under no uncertain conditions, that you are being racially overthrown by this black activist because you are white. And all she can do is be like, that's crazy, isn't it, Peter? Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's not funny. Like,
this, no, this is sincere.
Like, what we're watching with the RAF. I mean, in the beginning of this, in the beginning of the segment, she explains the RAF thing and says that this was found to have broken the law. This is illegal discrimination. And this serpent is like, no, we're going to keep doing it until you own nothing because you are white and we are black. Like, why are we listening to the black KKK? Why are you giving the black KKK a platform?
Because the black KKK are in charge.
Exactly. As if this demand will not eventually be made at your own job. And the thing is, I think the smile conceals a lot of fear. Because ultimately, you know that they're going to come for you eventually because you also have the wrong skin colour. Now, I have to say, I still don't want skin colour to be a political category. I just don't want it. I just don't want politics based on race. I've never wanted it, and I still don't want it. And yet this is like the mainstream. This is what.
Oh yeah, you totally lost.
Yeah, I'm totally lost. That's right. Yeah.
I was younger. I was watching your videos, being like, maybe this should go away one day. Now I'm here, and it's no. This is the complete norm.
Why don't we agree not to have race politics? Well, too late. It's way too late.
One day this will be at every school in the land. Said Simon of a cat.
And was I wrong? You know. Anyway, let's watch the next clip.
Well, no. I mean, I find this very, very worrying, actually, because the implication behind a lot of these initiatives, including the one, the Labour one that you referred to there, is that Britain is structurally racist. I don't believe that for a moment. I think it's an insult, actually. I think we are one of the least racist countries. And what this does, it builds on that assumption, which is a wrong assumption. And essentially it's saying the only way this can be rectified is by some form of positive, you mentioned the word positive discrimination, which actually means prioritising, making preferential treatment for one ethnic group.
Now, Peter is giving the liberal definition of racism, right? Not the expanded definition of racism. When he says we are one of the least racist countries, he's right. We don't look at a person and say that person's black, that person's white, that person's green, whatever, and discriminate based on the colour of their skin. He's absolutely right. We don't do that. And that does make us one of the least racist countries. But she's using the expanded definition of racism. And then she's saying, well, look,
are differences, ergo racism.
Exactly. Ergo, therefore, racism. In fact, therefore, institutional congenital racism that is located in the country. Britain appears to have been taken over by the black KKK, frankly, and the ideology of the black KKK. And all that Peter understandably finds this completely worrying, and justly so, but he's trapped within their paradigm now. And she is, in fact, two steps ahead of him, because in the next clip, you'll see how Peter falls into her trap.
There are 15%, I think, ethnic minority in this country. Why does it not talk about, you know, Southeast Asian? Why does it not talk about East Asian?
So you don't disagree with me? So you don't disagree, Peter?
This is very strange.
You don't disagree.
The point is this. We end up in situations like the one that you mentioned, Emily, where we've had 160 white guys negatively discriminated against this week. We also end up with situations which, for example, again was reported this week, where the police in London are so intent on getting up their diversity numbers that, in fact, some people now working for them are, in fact, functionally illiterate in English because they are so determined to get this diversity quota up. Now, the fact is, shouldn't it all be about merit and talent?
So I think that's a very interesting segment there, because you can see that Peter initially begins, well, why is it just for black people and why not for the rest? And she's like, well, that's perfect, because you've agreed to my premises. And now, yes, you are right. You know, I was starting with black people, but of course I'll expand this to everyone who's not white, because this is the point of this. And so he realizes he's been wrong-footed, and he readjusts to returns to, well, the what I'm just going to describe as the British favour, prejudice, in favour of merit and talent. But she doesn't agree with this, because to her, that is, she'll call it a white prejudice, right? It's obviously not, but like, that's how she'd define it, because that's what the British culture prefers, because he cares about standards. But her standards are different to his. So she is a racial supremacist, as she's already explained at the beginning of the segment. So for her, the worst black man is more meritorious than the best white man because of the colour of their skin, because it is merely about the levels and the numbers of blacks and whites in any given system. She's already explained this.
The positive negative thing's just really annoying me. Because I'm just imagining, like, I don't know. Let's take Poland, right? Like, if you're just exterminating loads of Ukrainians, that's negative discrimination. Hmm. But if you're exterminating loads of Poles, that's positive discrimination, because you're getting rid of the majority.
Same result.
It's just the once you realize what you're saying,
yeah.
Like, what is this positive negative nonsense?
Well,
it's just a way of saying
it's good. You can advance one group or reduce another group. But the result is the same. The tide is turning in the favor of one and not the other, and that's what she's saying.
The terms positive and negatives are obviously just applied to whatever you feel. Like the Nazis can sit there and be like, "Well, it's positive ethnic cleansing." Lunatic.
The Nazis would say that advancing German families and interests is positive discrimination, and the negative discrimination is the Holocaust.
Writes itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's what she's saying, because that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. And the thing is, like I said, Peter can't appeal to merit because he holds a different set of standards to her. And so she will just openly deny it. And she knows she's got this sewn up, as you can see in this next smug reply.
So I just want to address one of your points. I have to put this RAF into context, OK? So the Armed Services Ombudsman has repeatedly highlighted concerns about the fact that women and ethnic minorities account for a disproportionate amount of bullying, harassment and discrimination within the military. So racism and discrimination has already taken place, hence the need for quotas. This is where we are right now, Peter. That's the reality. Situation.
Look at that attitude. Look at that attitude.
I can do what I want all the time.
Because I'm black and you're white, because you're a racist. I mean, a racist country wouldn't have a black person on TV.
No.
It probably wouldn't have black people in it. And if they did, they would be...
Kind of the point.
Yeah, exactly. They would be segregated and ostracized and never given this kind of voice. But you can see the way she's approaching it. Listen, Peter... We have to have quotas because you're just not getting that I'm in charge and you're not. That's what she's saying. The tone of voice shows who holds the power in this conversation. And she knows it. Because Peter is not arguing against the intrinsic injustice of racial discrimination. And she wins on this level because she'll say, well, look, as she points out, the institution of the armed forces has found that the minorities are disproportionately racially bullied or whatever it was. And so, therefore, the black supremacist ideology is legitimized to take revenge. The liberals are no more morally justified than she is because she's already established you've already committed the wrong. And so I'm justified in taking my revenge by committing the same wrong back at you. That's her argument. And she's saying it with insane smugness because it's a winning move. She knows she's being dishonest here, but Peter is trapped in a dialectic he can't win, right? The institution isn't the thing discriminating when individuals within the institution are, say, bullying a black person or a woman or something like that, right? If the institution didn't have an ombudsman that was like, you know, if there was no court of appeal and the institution was like, why are you coming to me? You're black, get out. Then you'd be like, okay, well, that's a racist institution. But the institution has a self-policing mechanism that is designed to deal with individuals who are racist within it. That's what she's appealing to. She's appealing to the fact that it's not a racist institution. To call it a racist institution to justify the racism she wishes to perpetuate against white people. That's how she's got Peter. So that's why she can be so smug. Peter is trapped within this conversation now, and he's got nowhere else to go. And so let's just watch the end of it, because you can see that Peter now, he's been outmaneuvered by her. And I don't blame him, because this is a difficult thing to catch on the fly. Like, she's very well versed in how she's got him. Let's watch this clip.
You believe Britain is structurally racist, right? You're not going to deny that. No, it is not. Yeah. That is a massive, massive
untruth. Do you understand that every human being
untruth.
Has prejudice?
Okay, it is
so
an untruth.
Do you understand that every human being
it is
has
an untruth?
Is that something that you understand, Peter?
No, no, no.
Is that
you're not, you understand? Paying this. You're not. I'm not going to play your game.
Do you understand that every human being has prejudice?
Right.
Do you understand it?
This is a form.
Is that something that you understand?
This is a form. This will be a form of state racism in a way. You do not fight racism with other racism.
Prejudice is the foundation for all forms of structural racism, and any other discrimination, including racism, misogyny, sexism, and
these are cliches. These are just cliches
you're
mouthing.
That's a fact.
So you can see here that she says, well, I don't know why the video didn't work there, but they have quite a heated argument. But you can see in her face that she's just like, no, I've won. I've won this. And Peter has to be like, well, I'm not going to play your game. It's like, well, unfortunately, it's too late. She's been playing her game the whole time. And you got to this point why you were even discussing it. Because when she's do you understand that every human being is prejudiced? Okay, what are your prejudices? That's how you win that. You have to turn it back and go, what are your prejudices? And she has to be like, well, against white men. It's like, well, there we go. If it's just a game of whose prejudice do we care about, why would anyone care about your prejudice over their own prejudices? You can't appeal to someone's biases, and because a person literally only has their own bias to judge it by. And so it's quite mad, to be honest. She is obviously a racist against white people, but of course she is. She's a critical race theorist. But anyway, just I think that was just an instructive lesson on who is in charge in these conversations and why you have to be very, very careful with them. Again, I wasn't like in no way I was trying to belittle Peter or anything like that. I don't blame him for coming off the worse for this conversation because it's dishonest. It's rigged from the start. He can't win it.
With that, we'll move to Vice, a bunch of other dishonest bastards.
Mm.
Vice is tired of taking L's IRL. They're sick of it.
But I really enjoy their taking L's segments.
I don't know why they started doing that.
I don't know. It's really good TV, though.
Who was sitting around being like, you know what, this will make the movement look good. But no, it was good TV. Just to mention first, though, if you'd like a job, there's a 9-to-5 in Swindon. Look for you, software engineer / web developer. So the midnight Sunday was the last job for that. So if you don't apply before then, nope.
Come and help us improve our website, because it needs improving.
If you can do it, then apply. If you don't, then don't. We'll move to the Vice articles, though, because you may remember, for people who don't know, Vice started doing these things where they'd invite like a couple of rightists on and a bunch of leftist TikTok morons. And it was beautiful.
Mm.
Absolutely beautiful. Because the leftist TikTok morons have obviously never spoken to anyone but themselves.
I what I love about this as well is, I hate to say it, the ethnic composition. Asian woman calls Asian man white supremacist. Asian man explains it's not white supremacy to be successful.
Also, why would a white supremacist system let us have this conversation, Asian woman?
Yeah, why are we here?
How do you have a job? How do you have money? How do you have power?
Yeah.
And you can see the dislikes there as well, which were amazing. Vince Dow doing a very, very good job of being like, it's not ethnic erasure to not commit crime, which was my favorite point.
Which that's just such a mask-off moment.
Yeah. If you go to the next image, you can see it did not go well by looking at the images next up, please. And then we can load up those. I mean, these are the response.
Oh, you got to love it.
There is no soy face of Vince Dow.
No.
Being like, I've been destroyed.
Yeah.
By the... No. Yeah. don't be silly.
God, look at the... I've never heard. How dare you contradict my thoughts?
The closest they get is Zigzag introduces himself as they, them, and Vince just rolls his eyes. Because it's just boring. It's just boring at this point. We'll go to Zigzag, though. Because Zigzag is actually worse than I thought. I didn't mention this last time.
Oh, yeah. Who's this?
This is his application to Stanford University. If we can click on the left there, we can see the full text of what he wrote. That's it. This was his application to one of the quote-unquote best universities in America. No, come on. American universities are a joke. And he got in. That's how he got his degree. Congratulations, you've been admitted.
It's embarrassing.
I'm brown and say Black Lives Matter. Have $1 million and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's actually how America works, apparently. That's on his account. That's him posting it as well.
He's bragging proud of this. Yeah.
Bragging in their face.
To be honest with you, if that had worked for me, I'd brag about it too.
Yeah.
Look how stupid they are.
Enough of Zigzag, because then they had Pearl and Sydney on, who, again, were the two token rightists who were like, yeah, you're all mad. we're not going to...
Look at these faces, though. They're not happy, are they?
No. And if you scroll down on this one, there's an even funnier part of this. Because there's the likes and dislikes, which, again, are beautiful. The really funny part is there's no comments.
Oh.
They turned off the comments for this one because it went that badly.
What's the warning here?
Warning?
Abortion health information. Oh, thanks, YouTube. Needed to know that.
Do you know what abortion is? It'd be pretty weird if I didn't. Anyway, 2 million views. Both of these sequences of rightists destroy leftist nonsense on Vice.com went amazingly viral because it was really funny. And so,
Vice are like, how did this blow up in our face?
Yeah. And then if you go to the next one here, because it obviously didn't go well. We can see how it didn't go well with the leftists saying they were going through violence.
Oh, well.
F's in the chat, boys.
I mean, to be honest with you, I did watch these and it did kind of feel like violence.
I mean, getting curb stomped isn't always fun,
no.
But sometimes you deserve it.
Yeah.
In the metaphorical sense of having your arguments destroyed.
Through violence. I love it.
Ridiculous.
So preposterous.
But then if we go to the next one, they decide to have one more of these. I checked it out. It's about male masculinity.
Oh, yeah.
And they list it as Vice invites male-identifying people to discuss masculinity.
That explains the person on the left there.
Yeah. They list it as modernist versus traditionalist.
Oh, I bet it was peak traditionalism.
Modernist men versus traditionalist men. Yeah.
Look at the guy on the right as well. Like you can just look at the way they're sat to see who's
right?
on.
What are you talking? Lie on the left.
Yeah, but no. But look at the guy on the right as well, right? Look at the way they're sat, like hands in his lap. Like you can see the posture.
The stereotypes are hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to be on what position?
This conversation, I'm not going to go through. It's like it's 40 minutes long. But we're going to very quickly go over this because it was stupid. Because the whole thing was very quickly discovered that masculinity isn't set by men, it's set by women. Because women set the game, men just try to win the game.
Yep.
And we'll play the clip just to make that point. Let's listen to what that point was.
I had to be a certain way for them to look at me as a man. And if I didn't perform in that manner, they also called me a bitch.
Yeah, they want a real,
right?
Poster.
So it's like, as progressive as I may want to be, is the world accepting of that as a whole? Because even if the other men don't like it, but the women like it, I might be like, I don't care what the guys think, as long as the women like it.
Eternal truth. Yeah. Masculinity is defined by women.
Yeah. It's what women are interested in. What do you want?
This is the funniest thing about, men discussing masculinity is the biggest waste of time ever. What's the point?
Well, I mean...
Well, is masculine is defined by what women are interested
sure,
in.
Sure, but, young men obviously have very little understanding of that these days. And so older men explaining that to younger men, I think there's value in that.
Yeah, sure, but it's about men talking around about, what could we make it mean? You don't get to decide, brother. And this is the really funny point. I saw Jordan Peterson talking about what's toxic masculinity. Well, if it's toxic, it's not masculinity. Because women don't want it if it's toxic to them. In the sense of...
actually, you say that.
Well, we're talking about specifically here, women talking about, oh, yeah, well, he tried to rape me or something. It's like, what? Like, why would that be masculinity then? And the same thing with toxic femininity. It's like, it's not feminine if men despise it, because men don't want that.
I suppose the argument would be, well, what they're saying when they say toxic is they're exploiting something that is available to masculinity and femininity.
But that conversation was
usually to harm people.
In the specific examples there, were just about like, oh my god, he does this thing I don't like. It's like, well then, why would it be useful? Like, the actually repulsing women level of stuff. But the point still stands for toxic femininity. But this one is the one we're going to go through, because it's really funny. Colorism debate. Look at those dislikes. Not with a single rightist involved. Not a single right-winger in the previous one, not a single right-winger in this one, because they've learned that lesson. Taking too many hours.
Didn't get enough views, though, did they?
No, because there's no right-wingers.
Yeah.
But the thing here is that it didn't stop them taking L's. Even not a single rightist in the room. Still got 78% dislike rate. All the comments in here as well are talking about how, what do you mean minority? You're the global majority. We're doing a whole lot of conversation. White's the minority. We'll start off with the first clip, because of course there were no rightists, so I've just put a compilation together to get the flavor of the room. Let's play.
Hi, my name is Koa, and I identify as biracial. I think about colorism as a distinct hierarchy that is anchored in a proximity to whiteness.
Hi, my name is Maya. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm black. Institutional power plus prejudice. Darker skinned people as a class of people do not have the ability, the institutional power to, for example, put you in prison for longer sentences because of being lighter skinned or, you know, having less access to employment.
Can you acknowledge that colorism affects lighter skinned people?
There's no such thing as reverse colorism. Same way there's no such thing as reverse racism, reverse sexism.
Being a lighter person, I do experience a tremendous amount of privilege. And
we need to talk about how this is like a capitalist enterprise that is invested in people lightening their skin.
That's
like, that to me, like, I think that that's why it's important to like remember like who benefits.
With these platforms that are new and are emerging, the same dynamics are mirrored back to us, whether that is racism, colorism, misogyny, Islamophobia.
Yeah, it was all the buzz.
Incredible.
I'm not making, you can go watch the full thing.
I might.
You'll agree with me. It was literally just a compilation.
Amazing.
Tired talking points that any writers could debunk within 5 minutes of the conversation, which is why they weren't invited.
No, I love it.
Same stupid buzzwords of all time. There's no reverse colorism. There's no reverse
heightism. There's no reverse colorism. The light brown women are more privileged over the dark brown women.
You know what they're talking about there? Is that guy up on the top right? He's a gay guy. And he was talking about, apparently, in the gay community in the United States, being lighter skinned black is a disadvantage. They want the black men. And he was talking about how that's a disadvantage for him. And her response is, there's no reverse colorism. He's like, I'm literally losing dates, love. What do you want? So, there we go.
Love it.
Big Pink over here, though,
yeah.
Has a real hard time public speaking, and it pissed me off so much, I've made this, so you have to suffer with me.
Like, because we live under capitalism.
Stupid.
It's very similar to something.
Unbearable. We'll get to the whining about colorism, though, because this whole debate, like even in the abstract, is beautiful to me, because it's obviously the crevices of intersectionality.
Oh, yeah.
Because you start off with the dumbass debate about like, oh, racism, sexism, and then we'll throw on trans stuff and whatever. When you get to the point of discussing colorism, I mean, like, it is comical for most human beings to the conversation is now realized as that. And I just wonder how much further it goes, like the heightism debate.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sure that'll be coming soon.
We're going to win that one, Callum.
Well, listen to this one first.
Colorism shows up like systemically. Like, there's research on public health and the different health outcomes darker skinned black people have as opposed to lighter skinned black people. And
really?
There's one about pulse oximeters like being used during COVID and how the devices have a harder time registering darker skin. And you can imagine the implications for that. And we know that the black community has been disproportionately affected by COVID in terms of like deaths. I don't think that evidence can be divorced from the anecdotes, you know, because the anecdotes just supplement that evidence. They help put that evidence into context. And I'm so like fascinated by like the growing like scholarship around colorism, because I think it's about time people treat colorism with the same seriousness they treat racism.
And some people just personally feel like they look better lighter, just like some people feel like they look better with makeup on. Why don't you just tell everybody, love your natural skin, you don't need makeup.
Not being systemically oppressed from not wearing makeup, though. Whereas someone with darker skin might experience systemic racism.
It's hypocrisy, though. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's not fair.
So I look forward to the makeup debate.
What I love there is, it's COVID. Okay, well, now let's talk about skin cancer.
There are different medical outcomes for different human bodies.
What's the level of skin cancer in the black community compared to the white community in California?
The more fundamental argument there. Why are there different medical outcomes for different human bodies?
Question.
Because they're different. You
know that diversity?
Dunk your head in ice.
That diversity you were aiming for, it requires differences.
Yeah, fundamentally. But the end point there of them discussing, what about makeup communism?
No, I agree. Let's take makeup away from women as well.
Do you not agree that women are being systematically oppressed by other women wearing makeup?
I was thrilled when Texas banned Instagram filters. And the Instagram thoughts were freaking out. Let's ban makeup.
But endless conversations about, aren't humanity being oppressed on this nonsense subject that I've...
Maybe women can get a realistic appraisal of their own attractiveness if we ban makeup and Instagram filters.
Speaking about hideism, though, I thought I'd finally actually find the clip I've been talking about all the time.
Oh, yeah.
This is the clip, you want to go see it. It's really just Stephen Fry listening about how heightism is a real and serious thing, and is actually, as quoting him here, comparable in magnitude to race.
Okay.
And he gives the statistics about how men of different heights earn and have the same sort of different kinds of outcome as men of different races. It's like, yes, Stephen, it's almost like this is a huge waste of time. You should get on with your life.
Are you officially black now?
I am a black man by my height. Out of my cock. Anyway, let's go to the next. Let's go to the next clip, in which we have a discussion about 9/11, because of course we do.
Oh yeah.
Moving here after 9/11, there is a huge push, I think, in the Middle Eastern community to look as white as possible. So it wasn't necessarily that it was the beauty standard, but rather a way to not get hate crimed or to kind of stay under the radar. And so my mom would tell me things like, tell people you're Russian and things like that. So kind of like keeping a proximity to whiteness was seen as a safer idea.
Okay, great. They love Russians in America.
Yeah, there's not a group that's loved more in America.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
It's just such a ridiculous example. It's like after 9/11, I had to pretend to be, you could pretend to be black. Black people didn't do 9/11 either. That's not the point. Also, this stupid...
Also, Americans don't know anything about the rest of the world. You could claim you're from Europe.
I'm from Estonia. What's that?
Yeah, I'm from Estonia or something. They wouldn't know.
Just make up a country.
Yeah, exactly. They would not, right, okay, not Russian or Muslim. Right, okay, fine. Not an Arab.
But also, it's just ridiculous. I hate this concept. You always hear it from these people whining of never traveled. It's just like, why do I have to blend in with the local culture?
No, this is proper Four Lions stuff. It's like, no, don't do your terrorist accent. What other accent's got my IRA accent?
I did a Russian Russian Wagner mercenary accent.
Yes. That is cool.
Vessel, why? Yes. What about my Ukrainian Nazi accent? Vessel, no!
This is so gold. It's like, oh god, these things are so dumb.
I did my Colombian drug dealer accent. but no.
My MS-13 accent isn't your essay.
I find that funny as hell.
Goals.
It's just a waste of time. Why in Russia do I have to pretend to be Russian and try and fit? Why in Afghanistan do I have to wear Afghan clothes? Because you're not an arse. That's why. Just basic things, for Christ's sake.
When in Rome.
Go to clip 7, though, which a black lady whines about how black women are viewed. This is a big of a clip, but it's just really strange for an outsider to see how black American women view themselves in the media. Let's play.
And even when we are presented, we're presented as ghetto and loud, mm-hmm. and like we're not meant to be in a relationship. Like we always like stress our partner out. We're annoying. Like we complain a lot, and it just sucks. Like I was saying, like it does do something to your head. And I personally feel like black women are at the bottom of the barrel. Like, nobody wants black women. Like, nobody desires black women. They basically think we're trash. And that gets to your head, especially when you have a whole bunch of, you know, even celebrities, like men, black men, like wanting to be with white women or lighter skinned women. It makes you feel like you're just not wanted. And it makes you feel like you want to join the hype.
A really weird way to end that. It makes me want to join in. which I just found that clip amazing.
You know what's interesting is I saw going around on Twitter the other day, the most popular dating choices on apps.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not new or
those,
anything.
Those are in America, those ones.
Yeah.
I think Love Harmony.
Where Asian men and black women get the least hits.
But the funny thing is that the specific description she's giving of the media portrayal of quote-unquote black women is only American black women. You notice how you don't get the same thing in England? Because well, yeah. Black women aren't all American here.
Yes.
For one. So,
yet.
Hugely different.
So I just heard, I feel like, you know, people think that we... awful and stress out our men.
And I want to join in with the hype. What? What a weird way to end it. It's just so really okay. Strange. We'll end it off, though, because the local Iranian woman now wants to tell us that any black man is the king of black people.
What?
In her eyes. Let's play.
Let's say me and Kelvin were in a group chat with a non-black person, and they sent a gif that could be considered a black gif. I think it's... And I accuse them of digital blackface, but he doesn't. And so... Pause it there because you guys were saying, like, just because something's happening or, like, if we have different feelings on it, whose point of view determines if something is actually happening or not? Or if we're still in the realm of opinion and feelings?
I think as a non-black person, if even one black person told me something's not okay, I would listen to them. It could be 1 out of 100. I would really...
You don't think that's dangerous? I'm sorry to cut you off, but you don't think that's dangerous?
That's insane.
Because you're giving me the power to determine how you interact with
But it's
black
really
people.
Not that much power to not use a GIF that's not meant for me.
Who said it's not meant for you? If we create content as black people, we're not posting it on a website where only black people can get into. We're sharing it with you. I think people get offended when people misuse the content that we have and abuse it. But I can't tell you what GIF. I mean, if it has the N-word in it real big, I'm going to take offense to that. But you already knew that. You already knew that. But if it's like a niche popular black person who does comedy and you post their GIF, I'm not going to say, well, hey, slow down. Like, I don't have that kind of power to tell someone that. And it's dangerous.
I feel like you're, like, devaluing people's, like, feelings. You know what I mean?
It's the two white
people. That's amazing. The black guy's like, look, it's fine, dude. Yeah. Like, it's dangerous to give me the kind of power over you that you're suggesting I should have.
They're all whining about what about white people using black gifts? And then the two black guys who are sensible in the conversation are just like, but what if we disagree? Then who do you listen to? Who's the king of the black people here out of us two? And she just goes, well, even if one black person says it's not okay.
And he's just like, you shouldn't do that.
Then you're not allowed to do anything ever? Also, I love the idea. He's like, well, we're not posting it somewhere where only black people. Like, they're not on blackpeoplemeet.com. They're like, let's get together, make some songs, make some gifts the whiteies won't know about. Okay.
Well, no, he's like, yeah, he was like, essentially complaining, like, you're creating a kind of segregated internet here. Where the whites and the blacks can't really interact.
That's
not what he wants, you know?
Never again. We'll end this off, though, because Big Pink decides to come back into the conversation.
She looks like she's got a good intervention here.
Yeah, she's got a great point. She's asking for beauty communism, and Little Pink just kind of turns around and goes, are you high by the end of it?
Okay.
Let's play.
And just, she wanted an easier life. So I'm just like, I think about, like, why are there so many material benefits to being lighter? Also, how do we make a world where darker skinned people don't have to do this? Like, don't have to. Like, I think that I'm interested in creating a world or, like, moving towards a world where we don't have, like, these very clear, like, straight up pigmentocracy, like, straight up, like hierarchies of shade that are, like, rooted in anti-blackness, that, like, are influenced by white supremacy, all of these things, like, that are interconnected with one another.
I really feel like it's never gonna change. Like, we want it to change.
I want it to
we
change.
We hope that it'll change, but is it really going to change? I really don't think so.
What do you
so.
Define as change?
Like, change as, like...
You want people to...
This fair game for also dark-skinned people. Like, we all are on an equal level. And I feel like that's never going to happen.
And you see in the room, just like, yeah, why are we doing this?
That's mental.
What a waste of time this conversation is. Because, like, ignore pigmentation from it, because remember, we can do this on anything. Yeah. Why isn't there height communism and beauty standards? Yeah. Why aren't short kings and tall kings all equally desired? How do we move towards that future? Shut up. If any man has that conversation, the immediate response, shut up.
Callum, this is a short person false consciousness you have. Right, we need to start leveling the playing field between us and Josh and Harry.
Yeah, okay. And no.
They've like, won me over. I agree.
All the women in the conversation, like, how do we, because it could be anything. It could be the ear shape. It could be a thighs. Like, whatever thing. Why aren't we all equally desired along this nonsense random thing I've picked?
Yeah.
The little pink's just like, that's never going to happen. Shut up. Communist big pink. Anyway, that's Vice taking L's, IRL, and they've decided they're sick of that, so they no longer invite right-wingers, so Vince Dow, you know, did a good job in Pearl and Sydney, buried it, and it's a shame that series seems to have ended. Maybe they'll bring it back, hopefully.
Then we can well, when more. They realise the numbers are down, they're going, okay, fine, get a right-winger on.
Yeah, we can hope they actually care about success and not just sitting around circle-jerking for 5 minutes. But otherwise, still taking L's somehow. Go to the video comments.
So, Carl, let me get this straight. You want to give the people currently running your government the authority to kill people when they don't even seem to be able to handle the basics of governance. Yeah, while I agree that the death penalty is appropriate for murder and pedophilia and such, I don't want the government administering it.
They already have that power.
But also, the government is a specific group of elected MPs, zero of whom pass judgments in the courts.
Let's just assume, because this can happen, which is that they're controlled by each other, they're completely corrupt, they know each other, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, you can make the argument. But they still have the power to kill.
But it's the jury that levels guilt or innocence.
Yeah, I mean, you're assuming there's a jury trial there. Could be a judge.
Well, okay. You know, I'm happy to have certain provisos, as in, it's a
I mean, you are assuming jury trial, separation of judiciary and government.
Well, not even separation of judiciary and government, just professional judges, but also a trial by jury.
Because if the judges are run by the state, then that's not.
It's more complicated than that. But there's no separation of powers, and there never has been, and it's just an American fiction, basically. But the point is, the professional judges and the judgment is actually, the decision is actually made by a jury of your peers, which I think is fair. And as you saw with the bloody code, people are like, nah, he's not guilty because he might.
I do wish we'd bring back transportation.
I thought you can say bloody code.
No, just
finally got you around to my
send
position.
Them to Australia. Like, we don't even own them anymore, but still, like, you've got to go.
But I hate this, you don't give the government... No, the government is actually a specific group of people who are not involved in passing sentences. So I just don't agree with that characterization. Sorry, man.
Do the next one.
After the Ohio train disaster, think about your food. Stock up on meat now. It's safe, but in a few weeks or months, those animals might not be from the air they breathed and the water they drank. Check where the produce is from. If it's from that region, avoid it. Find local sources. Source local livestock farms to know where to get meat, eggs, and milk. Same for produce at farmers markets. There are websites that can help you find that. Stay safe, please. Extra spending on this is worth you not getting cancer or some other terrible thing.
The situation's horrific.
Oh, I know, but he's totally right. It's worth the extra spending. You know, my wife started going to our local farmers market. She's like, it costs the earth. I'm like, yeah, but you know what's in it.
I feel so bad for that town because you've got the people. There's still people living there.
Oh, yeah.
I would have thought you pack up your family and just leave.
But what if you're nowhere to go?
You might lose your job. Just go some other state. But, I mean, that's a Chernobyl situation. I remember you've seen the HBO series where they all sit around for ages until the government comes in. And it's just like, you see the videos now of all the frogs and the fish and the pot are all dead.
Yeah.
Just like, God's trying to tell you something. Get out of there. There was some lady, she was keeping chickens outside. All the chickens are dead.
Yeah, get out.
She's still in the city. What are you doing?
Yeah.
No one cares. I'll be honest as well. I kept reading it as Palestine. That's why I thought no one cared for a while.
No, it's East Palestine.
Yeah. Oh, it's America.
Yeah.
Oh. Really weird.
The Babylon Bee had a great Ilhan Omar stands in solidarity until she realizes it's in America.
I also saw they started putting up Ukraine flags to be like, please help us.
It is terrible.
Go to the next one.
The reason for the peculiarity of the Anglo-Saxon world is best discussed in the most brilliant book by Alan MacFarlane, which is called The Origins of English Individualism, and he argues that our great strength is the weakness of our family.
dealing with the raw pressure from his family to take care of everything after his father had a debilitating stroke, an Eastern European friend of mine needed a break, so I accompanied him in Toronto for wine, music and food. When my father had heart issues, my family came together, but we did not presume to impose on each other, and I needed no break from them. There does appear to be some mania with European models of family.
Yeah, there's definitely the the atomic family of the sort of Anglosphere, and the I don't know, I can't remember what the name for it is, but it's much more extended family on the continent, and it's very different.
Care about your cousins endlessly.
Well, it's not even grandparents. You care about them. It's like you have like severe obligations to them and stuff like this.
So that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's because these countries fundamentally don't really have a rule of law.
Yeah, the family's the only thing you got.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, like, corruption happens in Europe, in, like, you know, Spain, Italy, Greece, that we just don't even consider happening here. Like, it's just small-time corruption, like bribery. Like, stuff like that happens in Europe. And you just think, you know, of course, like, you know, if a police officer arrests someone, it turns out to be his cousin, you know, Jeb, whatever, like, they'll literally be corrupt about it. You would not expect that to happen in England, you know?
I've seen Andrew Tate talk a lot about the culture in Romania around corruption compared to the UK. To be honest, I kind of ended up at the end of it just thinking, you know, corruption doesn't sound that bad for some of it. Like, he's mentioning that, for example, you get pulled over by the cops. Mm. And in the UK, it's a very serious offence. You get 3 points in your licence, fine or whatever, blah, blah. You might have to go some training course. In Romania, the cops pull you over and it's sort of like a game to them. It's like, ha-ha, I caught you. Ha-ha, you've been... All right, pay me 60 euros. All right, bugger off. Like it's almost
terrible.
It's almost comical.
Because that's awful.
No, but as a result, like, just you're just freer.
Yeah, but you are also someone who's lowering standards and breaking laws.
Yeah, probably. But the more I've experienced some of that, the more I'm not too bothered.
I would rather personally have a higher standard of driver on the road.
I don't know, man, because it's the point he makes as well, in which he points out, go to London or live in Bucharest. Like, the homeless man in London and the homeless man in Bucharest, worlds of difference. And, like, so, I mean, he makes actually, he better point he makes as a homeless man in New York versus Bucharest. Now, you go to New York, the homeless man, he's probably crazy, he's probably on drugs, might kill you, for Christ's sake, might push you in a train or some crazy stuff. The guy in Bucharest is like, you got any money? And you go, whatever. He's like, I need it for booze. And you give him money and he's going to go drink booze. That's all he does. And it's funny, the local tramp is kind of a jokey reality. Local tramp in New York is maybe psychopath is going to kill you.
Yeah, but I think it might be other problems rather than small-scale corruption that caused that.
No, the point is the difference in the culture. Like, these small builds up, and then you look at that and you're like, you know, slightly corrupt Eastern European place, but there's no murderers.
It's not slightly corrupt, though.
And it is compared to Afghanistan.
Yeah, but it is corrupt at every level of every institution. That's
the
problem.
What level of corruption at the institution?
Well, like, it's corrupt down to the local police pulling people over to get some money, and then it goes up to the local politician.
No, it is a fine. It doesn't. They're not taking cash like that. It's the corruption in the sense of they don't really care about the law. It's just a bit of a joke.
Yeah,
it's
but like, there's going to be a lot of bribery that goes on.
Yeah, there's that too. But it's not a huge amount compared to, like, actually corrupt places on Earth.
Sure, great. It's great. But, like, what do you think the amount of bribery that goes on with English cops is?
Basically near to zero. Well, except Border Force, but...
Yeah, except for the Border Force. But basically near to zero. I think that's better.
Yeah, but we don't have it at the low level. We have it at the high level.
Sure, but even then, like, they were like, Boris Johnson took 50 grand to repaint the, like, number 10 Downing Street.
Who cares about... I'm talking about him.
Yeah, but the...
I'm talking about the people who get, like, COVID contracts or in charge of Border Force or G4S. Like, the whole thing is pure scheme. That's like £3 billion a year or something.
Yeah.
But that is corruption. It's just we live with it.
But it's not illegal. That's the problem.
Oh, great.
Well, I'd love to make it.
that's my point. It's like, the West just works differently.
Sure, and I agree. It is kind of like an institutionalized, and it's the same with the lobbying in America, politicians. You know, it's kind of institutionalized bribery, and I agree we should get rid of it.
The weapons in America.
Sure, but I don't want a culture where the average cop just expects a bribe. I think that's vile.
I don't know. He made this story, which was kind of funny. Like, you go into a gas station. He went into the UK when COVID was on, and some guy's like, "Wear your mask," and he's like, "I'm not wearing a mask, go to hell." And he just gets really upset. He's like, "I'm paying money. You have to put your mask on. I'm not taking your money. Look, the gas is in my car. You're taking the money or what?"
Yeah.
And he's taking it super serious. His crappy job, he's getting paid, you know, £7 to sit there and scream at people about, no one cares. Go to Romania, you don't wear a mask. Wear it, no. All right.
Yeah, but that's not...
I'm going to try.
It's not the consequence of corruption.
Yeah, it is. In the sense of, like, there's this strict Protestant work ethic of, like, I will apply the rules, even in my crappy job where I'm getting paid F all. But in Romania, just no one cares.
I don't know, man. I didn't find masking a big deal over here. But we better carry on.
Plenty of security cops here. It's just a pain. You go to Russia, you get a bus, you might not pay. They're just going, whatever. I'm driving a bus, I don't care if you pay or not.
Let's carry on.
All right. The next one.
Hello there. I'm having to download your podcasts in batches so I can listen to them later, because where I am, there's not a lot of Wi-Fi. But I thought you might enjoy where I am.
That looks glorious, doesn't it?
The sun. I miss it.
Yeah.
It's only 32 degrees.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
You dick.
All right, well, that's the video comments.
Unfortunately, I think we're out of time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry, that ran over a bit.
Just ranting about how... I don't know, there's something nice about where the rules just stop applying in life.
Yeah, but they never last for very long.
You gotta come experience it. It's great.
I don't want to.
It's just no rules, do what you want, no one cares. All right, great.
I like standards.
Yeah, they've still got security. It's just the petty stuff. Just augers out the window.
Yeah.
It's good in a crisis. When the West is losing its mind, these just like, why I don't.
Well, yeah, okay, there's that.
Anyway, out of time. More from us. Lowseas.com. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Bye-bye.